Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I am so excited about today's conversation because it's one that I believe will inspire and convict us all to do better and to create order and some peace in our lives. My guest today is Joshua Becker. He's an author, a speaker, and one of the most influential voices in the modern minimalism movement. Yes, you heard me right, minimalism. I bet you're wondering, how might that affect your life, your love, your faith, and your family? Well, you're about to find out. Joshua has written several books on the subject, and his latest, Uncluttered Faith, Own Less, Love More, and Go Change the World. Joshua and his wife, Kim, have been married for over 25 years, and together they have two children. His journey into minimalism began during a moment in his garage when he became aware and overwhelmed by the value and purpose he was placing in material possessions. Joshua shared that story and so much more with us today. Let's go ahead and dive in now. Joshua, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my goodness. It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation. This is such an important conversation and message, and I'm glad to be here to talk it over with you.
Man, I'm looking forward to it, Joshua. You know, not only have I been engaged in your line of work for quite some time, but I know I have countless friends, countless colleagues and coworkers that love what you do, what you stand for, the messaging God has placed on your heart. But again, this isn't just a message. It's not just something that you talk about. Man, Joshua, this is something that you live out on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And so I think how I kind of want to begin, we're going to talk about minimalism and more, the heart behind it, the message here. But I want to go back to the day when things maybe began to change for you, when you were in that garage moment and it was like, man, you started to look around and noticing certain things in your life that maybe felt cluttered. Take us back to that moment and really what you've seen God do and how things have transpired since then.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because I think it's very important. One of the surprising questions I think I hear from people is they say, so have you always been a minimalist? And I'm like, well, you haven't been following me very long if you don't know, because not that I was excessive. I was a pastor for 15 years. And so it's never like I was living an extravagant lifestyle, but I was living a pretty typical middle-class American lifestyle. I wasn't missing meals, wasn't eating at the fanciest restaurants, but several pay increases over our first 10 years of marriage led to a bigger house and kids, led to more stuff. And so it was actually 17 years ago, man, 17 years ago, I was introduced to minimalism. The story goes, we were living up in Vermont. My son, Salem, was 5 years old. I had a daughter. Her name is Alexa. She was two. My wife and I decided to wake up and do our spring cleaning. I offered to clean out the garage. I had this vision of my son helping me and us like bonding as we cleaned out the garage over the weekend. And of course, he lasted about 30 seconds in the garage, and he found, it was May, so he found all of his summer toys, and he was in the backyard begging me to come play with him, but I just kept working on the garage. I think most parents can relate to this scenario. I had a job I wanted to do. He's asking me to play with him, and I just keep pushing him off, like, one more minute, I'm almost done. Okay, every parent can picture. So hours later, I'm still working on the same garage. I strike up a conversation with my neighbor. She's in her 80s. She's doing all of her yard work. which has now become a bucket list item for me that my wife will do the yard work into her 80s, but we'll see. Hasn't started yet, but maybe between now and then. Anyway, she's noticing what's happening on my side of the hedge with my son coming back and forth. And we just strike up a conversation. I start complaining a little bit about this project. She's commenting about how much effort has gone into her yard. And she says this, she says, "You know, that's why my daughter is a minimalist. She keeps telling me I don't need to own all this stuff." And I stood speechless for a moment, as if this was the first time in the world somebody had told me that I didn't have to try to own everything. But I looked at my driveway, and here was this pile of dirty, dusty things I'd pulled out of the garage to clean and organize. And I would have said, just like anyone else, I'm not looking for happiness in my possessions. The things I buy don't make me happy. But as I'm staring at the pile of dirty things, I, out of the corner of my eye, saw my 5-year-old son swinging alone on the swing set in the backyard, where he had been all morning long. Suddenly it dawned on me that all the things I owned weren't just not making me happy, but all the things I had accumulated were actually taking me away from the very thing that did bring me happiness. And not just happiness, but meaning and purpose and fulfillment and joy. And it is a very different thing to go from my things aren't making me happy to all the things I've accumulated are actually keeping me from living a better life. And that is the moment I think minimalism starts to make sense.
Man, I love how you frame it of it's not just about getting rid of things, but it's creating room for the things that matter most. Joshua, I want to talk to you about this for a second, though, because as you know, and really what your books are kind of geared toward is we live in a consumer culture. Go be more, do more, become more, 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 more. But there is danger in more, because I think, like you're referencing, we begin to miss what matters most. Joshua, speak to just again what you've seen in culture and society, what you've lived, what you've experienced, that moment where the light bulb hit for you, where it was like, man, I'm giving all of this attention toward these things that really don't matter. But speak to the, I guess, culture and society we live in. And I think to our audience today, the danger of more.
Yeah, let me start and make a bold statement that I believe to be true, and I think is so important. I honestly believe that consumerism may be the greatest undiagnosed sin in the American church today. When you think of America, or really any Western civilization, Western economy, like, it is built on consumerism, and the statistics bear this out, that the average American home has quadrupled in size in the last 100 years. 11% of us still need to rent offsite storage to store all of our things. And I think I saw a recent stat that 38% of Americans believe sometime in the near future they'll need to rent offsite storage. Like, our homes have never been bigger, our families have never been smaller, and yet it's still not enough space for all the stuff that we're holding on to. There's a recent stat that said 82% of an American's wardrobe is never worn. Americans spend $18,000 a year on non-essentials, according to a USA Today survey. And yet, if you watch any economist today, if you watch any news today, it's all about consumer spending, consumer confidence. Like, are we spending? Are we buying more? And it's just the world, the culture that we live in. And so I think the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize that and need to recognize how it's affected us more than affected us as individuals and the church more than I think we would like to admit.
And let's talk about how consumerism can bleed into comparison, because a lot of what you're kind of touching on, even when I think of Uncluttered Faith and the different things that, you know, you're working on these different projects, it really comes down to this idea of contentment. The word minimalism. It's not just about being able to recognize that it's just taking things off the wall and sitting there with no furniture. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. It's not a trendy lifestyle. It's actually deeply connecting us to our purpose here, Joshua. And so speak to this for a second, this idea of how when we live in a consumer culture, it bleeds into comparison. We begin to look at what other people have, the shinier objects, the nicer cars, the bigger houses, but that is not where contentment could ever be found or housed. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, a couple different interesting things that you said there. Let me start with how I define minimalism, because minimalism isn't about living a smaller life. It's not about living a less passionate life, or even a less fulfilling or less productive life. It's about directing our finite resources, and we all have finite resources, time, energy, money, directing those things towards things that matter for ourselves and for the kingdom by removing all the things that distract us from it. You're totally right about comparison, and man, social media has just made it harder and harder. It is easiest for us to compare externals with other people. And so we compare what we're wearing, we compare the size of our home, we compare like the worldly measures of success, which always focuses on the externals. And we get caught in this comparison game of trying to keep up. To be flat out honest, trying to impress other people with the things that we own and the things that we buy. Meanwhile, you know, Jesus invites us to something better. Jesus invites us to something more meaningful. Jesus talked over and over again about getting rid of the things that you don't need and being generous with your money and being generous with your stuff. That's where we're going to find life. That's where we're going to find meaning. That's where we're going to find our biggest impact in the kingdom. I don't know if this is the best way to say it, but sometimes I think we just compare the wrong things with other people. Like if we stopped as a society and as people, like looking up to those who have more and spend more and make more, and instead, like, who do we really want to be like? When I think of the mentors in my life that I really want to follow and be more like, it's people who are loving, it's people who are generous and kind and compassionate and hospitable and are living purposeful lives. Like, I feel like if we just compared ourselves to those people rather than the people that the world celebrates, we would all be better off, and we would all find an easier, more meaningful path to contentment and well-being.
I think that's such an important thing to note, because like you said, it's not just about comparing ourselves to what people have externally. It's really beginning to comparing ourselves to what people have internally. Like you said, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, those are the things that, man, when I see people that exude those things, Joshua, I'm like, man, I want to be more like that. Why? Because that's being more like Christ, right? Not just being the best version of myself, becoming a version that is fully surrendered and submitted to becoming more like Jesus each and every day. So I want to ask this, Joshua, just in knowing, you know, the life of Christ, I'm also very firmly aware that we place such an emphasis in the Western church on what Jesus said, but we don't place as great of an emphasis on how Jesus lived. Jesus really did live a minimalistic lifestyle, right? He didn't have all of these fancy things. He just created room and space in his life for, again, the things that mattered most. So speak to us as believers here for a second, those that are following Jesus, not out of like, hey, bashing us or demeaning us or calling us out for the lifestyle we live in excess, but really just helping us become more aware of what it might look like to attune ourselves and even incorporate minimalism maybe as a spiritual discipline for the road ahead.
We spent about 9 months going through our home, getting rid of We eventually got rid of 60, 70% of the things, physical possessions in our home. Years later, moved into a smaller home. So it wasn't an overnight process. But as we were making these changes, I started noticing very practical ways that my life was improving. Things like I had more money, I had more time. There was more opportunity for rest. I felt like I was living a better example for my kids. There was more generosity and gratitude and contentment. Like all these benefits start coming into my life. At one point, I think we were clearing out like our second bathroom. And I turned to Kim, my wife. I don't think I mentioned her name yet. And I said, man, minimalism is so freeing. Like this is such a wonderful way to live. Where has this been my entire life? Like, how come no one told me about minimalism before my neighbor introduced me to it? And like I caught myself halfway through the final sentence because I was like, this isn't new. Like June, my neighbor, wasn't the first person to tell me about minimalism. Jesus was saying the exact same thing 2,000 years ago. But for some reason, and this is so important, for some reason, I couldn't see it. I heard Jesus and I knew all of his teachings, his words to the rich young ruler, his words about life is not found in the abundance of possessions and don't store up treasures here on earth. Like I heard all of those teachings, and yet for some reason, every time I read what Jesus taught about money and possessions, my thought was, man, Jesus really wants me to live a boring, crummy, sacrificial life today. Like, I get all the rewards in heaven, but man, that is sure going to be miserable for the however many years I have here on earth. Until I started actually living out what Jesus modeled and what Jesus taught. And when we actually started living out Jesus's teaching on money and possessions, I learned, hey, this isn't a crummier way to live. This is a better way to live. More joy, more fulfillment, more meaning, more opportunity, a bigger influence that we can have in this kingdom. And when I talk about minimalism and when I talk about Christ, and I'm very careful, and I think you said it so well. I heard plenty of sermons about the evils of consumerism and the dangers of materialism, but I don't know if I ever heard a pastor stand up and talk about, let me show you all of the spiritual blessings. Let me lay out all of the good things that come into your life when you purposefully and intentionally own just the things you need to own. And so when I talk about minimalism, the new book, Uncluttered Faith, it's all about, these are the promises. These are the blessings. These are the good things that we experience in Christ and in our lives when we very purposefully and intentionally don't succumb to consumerism, but just own the things that we need to fulfill the good work that God has appointed for us to accomplish here on earth.
Wow. So well said, Joshua. You know, I'm now thinking of the audience member out there today who maybe has felt like a little bit convicted. As you're speaking, they're beginning to, the things inside of their mind are beginning to rattle. They're starting to think about all the cluttering in their own personal life, all that they possess, maybe the excess and different things that are beginning to distract them from the things that matter and what God really wants to be at the forefront of their minds and the forefront of their hearts and the forefront of their families and more. So then the question then is, so Joshua, where do we begin? As you know, again, we're convicted toward minimalism, and I'm hearing about, I want to unclutter my life. I want to unclutter all of these things so I can really step into the purpose and the calling and become the man or the woman that God is destined for me to become. Joshua, where do we begin?
Well, we need to start by not feeling overwhelmed at the prospect of this. I think oftentimes we see our entire home and all that we've accumulated over 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you're like, I got to get rid of all of it. And you're never going to get rid of all of it at one time. And so the way we overcome overwhelm is, I always think overwhelm happens when we see too big of a project and too little of a time. And so We're just going to break it into small pieces, and we're going to take one step at a time. What I recommend people do is begin by decluttering an area in your home, an area in your life that would be an easier place to start that you spend a lot of time in. Maybe your garage needs to be decluttered. Maybe your basement, your attic, your storage unit. But if you don't spend time there, then you can spend hours and hours and go sit down in your living room and like there's no difference at the end of the day. Instead, declutter your living room, declutter your bedroom. And you're like, well, that's not really the most cluttered space in my home. I'm like, great. Like we don't have to start by getting rid of the hardest things that we would ever need to get rid of in our home. So go declutter everything out of your car that you don't need. The water bottles, the receipts, the pens, the plastic toys, like the papers, like just take everything out of your car that doesn't need to be there. The next time you get in your car to drive somewhere, it will feel calmer, more peaceful. You'll be like, I kind of like this space a lot better. And then use that momentum to go declutter your bedroom or your living room. And like area by area, space by space, working from your easiest to the hardest in spaces that you spend time in. And eventually you'll get to the garage and the attic and the basement, but you don't need to start those places for sure.
It's always worth the effort. And again, there is more in less. Joshua Becker, my friend, where can our audience members go to find out more about you, to pick up some copies of your books? Talk to us. What's a one-stop shop for you, my friend?
Yeah, very exciting. BecomingMinimalist.com is home base for me. And so anything and everything runs through there.
Google BecomingMinimalist.com. Joshua Becker, my friend, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your obedient yes to what God has called you to. We appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, right back at you. Thanks for your hard work.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.